You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotel family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you have a great weekend, and I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it must get done, whatever the weather is, you'll get it done. But if it doesn't, you'll stay indoors and be safe. But if you do go out, you wear a mask. Make sure you wash your hands and stay a safe distance. You'll be smart, because there's no doubt about it. The coronavirus, heard that piece, that's it. He said, yeah, man, what happened to the coronavirus, man? He said, this is halftime. Racism is performing now. The coronavirus, I mean, this is just halftime. Racism is performing. The coronavirus will be right back with you, and it's going to come back, and it's going to be heavy. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, there is so much out there. Conspiracies, all kinds of angles, and all kinds of things that they're putting out there. Let me just say this. Whatever you want to gravitate to, but there's one thing that is for sure. People are dying. The coronavirus, COVID-19, people are dying. That being a fact, I know 10 people personally. 10 people. I would never be able to say in any other quote, disease, or wasn't even a pandemic or something to that effect, H1N1, swine flu, other, I didn't know anybody. But I know 10 people and counting who have transitioned because of COVID-19. So I'm saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, be safe. Protect yourself. It's a great day. Today's my daughter's birthday. That's right. My oldest daughter's birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday to her. She's going to have a good weekend. Because she's got friends. Yeah. All right, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives, timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. Once you've done that, then you'll see African Perspectives. And then click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times they're going to give are Eastern times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with Brother Wahad. from 6 to 8, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. There's going to be a Wednesday program, but not yet. And, of course, there's going to be a Thursday program, but not yet. So it brings us back here to Friday. And it's Friday, and it's 8 p.m. Eastern. That's right, brothers and sisters. That means it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition from 4 to 6. Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition, has a very special program with a brother who is living in the UK. He's from Milwaukee. He's a musician. So there's a special program tomorrow from 4 to 6. That'll be followed by Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sankofa Elders Council. And my guest today, Brother Alfonso Watkins, will be having that conversation tomorrow on Black Reality Think Tank. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. At Sunday at 7 p.m. And then every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. You get those boxer shorts, all kinds of good stuff. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Taimba. Africa for the Africans. Give my good brother Bomani Taimba a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And he can explain to you how you can take a trip of a lifetime back home to our motherland. Very inexpensive. Everything on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, is everything that you need to make the trip of a lifetime a reality for you. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Renoko Rashidi, go to drrenoko.com. drrenoko.com. His upcoming trip is October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th. And that is the upcoming trip that Dr. Renoko is planning to go to Uganda and Rwanda. Uganda and Rwanda. And that's going to be a great trip. I'm looking forward to that myself. I may just do that because I really want to see Rwanda. I'd love to see anything that is about us. I really would love to see anything that is about us. And Habesha. So check out Dr. Renoko. He also has a trip going to that. Let me give you the dates on that trip again. That is October 5th through the 16th. And then that's going to be followed by a trip that he has going to Kemet, October 22nd through November 4th. Habesha, Habesha, Habesha. That's not love, Habesha. Those brothers and sisters are doing the work. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and you will see for yourself that those brothers and sisters are doing the work. And I'm just so happy for them. And I'm looking for something right now. I'm looking for Baba Barudi and Yah Barudi's piece. I don't know what I deal with it because I need to inform you about the program tomorrow. And then they're having a complementarity program, you know. So I want to make sure that you get that information. because their complementarity workshop, and all of these are virtual. They're virtual. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to find it when at the break to find that for you. Okay? At the break. So once again, go to HabashahIncorporated.org and look at the work that is being done by those brothers and sisters. The shrine is, well, I'll mention the shrine when you're ready. but the Medu Bookstore is open in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, a number of things. Go to Mama Nia. Check her out at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right off of Georgia Highway 166, the Greenbrier Mall. Her hours are changed. She closes at 7. And I think she closes at 6 or 5 on Sunday. So that's the Medu Bookstore. The other bookstore is Brother Gazimde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. And he has an event this evening over there in Lithonia. He has an event this evening. It's a poetry session at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, 878 Ralph Dibbitt Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. The number to call Wadada's is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. They have We Buy Black products right there at Wadada's, the laundry detergent, the toothbrushes, all kind of good stuff. And then they have Whole Foods there, I mean, that you can buy beans and so forth, other things. There are other vendors there. The other vendor, one of the other vendors, is the brother that sells the athletics. You know, he got the shirts. That's the athletic wear with African themes. Like, he's got the Nat Turner Burners. The Harriet Tubman track stars, Ma'at, and of course, that's the jersey, so you know what the number is, right? Yeah, 42 laws. Laws, 42. Yep. So, I mean, he has an array of beautiful stuff, the satin jackets, and so, yeah, that's the Nat Turner Burners, the Garveys, just beautiful wear, jackets and so forth. So check them out. And that is Afroletics, AFR-LETICS.com. Afroletics.com. Once again, I don't have, let me deal with us lifting us. The Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, and I know they listened to them last night. That was a good program. Bubba Kambizi and Brother Thurman, good program. Last night on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. on Thursdays. That is us lifting us to Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the spirit of Ujamaa, or cooperative economics, as we like to say, family-centered economics. BlogTalkRadio.com/ULU. The program is called Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. And the number to call to listen or to make your comments or questions is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us. ULU. Sanjay Dash Haiti. That is Sister Gabrielle Aurelia and her program in Haiti, in the northeast portion of Haiti, in the rural areas. She's doing great work. Go online, check it out. SONJE-AYITI.org. Sanjay-Haiti. And of course, Akaban Institute. And I'll find that information in the path of the program so I can give you that information. The two programs that are upcoming for the Barutis. But their school is Akaban Institute, and they need funding because they're totally independent. And so make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can use Cash App and PayPal. Just use the dollar sign, Sister Yah's name, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your donations to Ackerman Institute. They desperately need them, and they deserve them for the work that they're doing. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sesem. June 11. Ancestral wisdom unraveled, retraced, revived, and resurrected will promote the reacclimation and recension of our people. Insignia, Warfield, Coppin. We must remember that music has always served a positive, culturally enhancing function for Africans. Throughout our history, throughout our story, it calls us to perform ritual, festivals, and ceremonies, to celebrate our rites, and to gather at our holy places to confirm and rejuvenate any neglected connected with our ancestors, guardian deities, and the Creator. It summons us to village meetings to decide communal issues and to courts to decide disagreements between individuals. When necessary, it has called us as a community into war with others. We must remember that drums have always been at the center of our music. As the heart, they beat out the time that regulates the pulse of our constant movement toward equilibrium and perfection in spite of the disorder created around us by incomplete beings. The Urugu. As timeless deities, the drums told of our births, lives, deaths, cycles, victories, defeats, and lessons learned. The vibrations that their music gives off nurtures the communion of our community. They mark cadence during the marches, those who broke from their enslavement made from town to town after victorious revolts. They roll down from our maroon Quilombo and outlier strongholds announcing coming war and retaliation. They speak of universal rhythm, of balance, of justice, of order. We have never given up because we know their power. Ashe. Affirm, I listen to the words of the drum. Affirm, I listen to the words of the drum. June 12th, upon witnessing the love and admiration that domesticated creature has for its owner, one would never guess at the history of fear and terrorism that brought the creature to its present state. If Africans worked as hard on resolving their mental illness as they do on their physical ones, we would be well on our way out of this difficulty. Understanding this imbalanced approach to curing ourselves is only a matter of grasping the degree of difficulty, the amount of self-sacrifice and protected energy which must be expanded to achieve success for either. The former, curing our mental illness, requires serious, prolonged spiritual work, our historical study, while the latter, curing the physical, only requires the willingness to take Western or herbal medicines, adjust one's diet, and single-mindedly focus on self. Imagine the menticide rationalizing this imbalance, saying that a healthy temple automatically gives consciousness of self. Imagine a physically healthy but menticidally African nation is what we've been experiencing. Imagine a physically healthy but menticidal African nation. Affirm, I take on greater challenges of warriorhood. Affirm, I take on greater challenges of warriorhood. June 13th, we told them to leave us alone and keep away from us. They followed on and beset our paths, and they coiled themselves amongst us like the snake. They poison us by their touch. Chief Blackhawk.
However measured, Urugu is the most immoral, unethical, and corrosive agent on this planet. Everything they touch is poisoned, and nothing they encounter is left unscathed. If what they contaminate lives, it becomes so chronically diseased and disfigured that it cannot be distinguished from the veiled parasite that infected it. The European Asili cannot hide its need to have and control all. Western terrorism in its projection of its terroristic mentality on others reflects their innate intolerance of fair competition and difference. They will have all, or they will try to destroy everything. They understand only that which is stated and enacted in their own violent, abrasive language. When we study the historical record, their toxic expansion is abundantly clear. We know that asking them to keep their disease to themselves does not work, for they need to project themselves into others in order to become defined as human. In this, a self-serving betrayal that projects the illusion that there is a workable solution within the Western cultural context that would not call for the total dismantling of European culture. But knowing this terroristic way of being is biologically and culturally infused, we need to ask if, even if possible, for Europeans to exist outside of the European culture and the global reality they have imposed on everything else and everyone else. Let me read that last piece again. But knowing this terroristic way of being is biologically and culturally infused, so we need to ask if it is even possible for Europeans to exist outside of the European culture and global reality that they have imposed on everyone else. I don't think so. Affirm, I know the cause of making war. Affirm, I know the cause of our making war. The cause of our making war is the European. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. A lot of those have hit pretty hard with what we're going to be talking about today. Today is my guest, and that is Brother Alfonso Watkins. Brother Alfonso, are you with me?
Yes, big brother. Peace and blessings to you. Peace and blessings.
You too, my brother. How have you been?
Oh, man. Due to the circumstances, man, thankful to be amongst the living. Thankful to be able to be on the show with you and fellowship with my fellow Africans who function in and practice in Sankofa. So it's a beautiful day.
Ashe, I agree. It is a beautiful day. Yeah. So tomorrow's program, Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Elders, Sankofa Elders Council. Now, what's going to be happening with that? Talk to me. Sounds great.
Yeah, tomorrow, man, we're going to have Dr. Janine James. She is a maternal and infant mortality specialist. She has delivered over 3,000 children over her 40 years of practice. So we're going to be having a conversation. We're calling it Protecting Our Children in the Womb and Beyond. And part of this conversation is for us to start looking at developmentally what type of human beings do we need to produce, what type of Africans do we need to produce to move us into the 21st century. And so she, once again, has been able to help families bring children into the universe through those difficult pregnancies. So she's going to talk about the science that she uses to help with that. But then also we're going to talk about the reality of creating a space to talk about before our children get to the place of engaging in that act, we have to create a, we can call it a manhood, womanhood training, a rites of passage, but we got to start being deliberate and intentional about helping our young people understand what that act is and how they should be developing themselves spiritually, psychologically, and physically before they engage in that act, so that we can once again be intentional about what type of human beings we are, we need to produce as African people.
I think that's vitally important that we start to do that everywhere we are as African people. You know, of course, that's something that we had done previously prior to, you know, the disruption of our captivity. And then, of course, the menticide that we have been experiencing for so many years. Because, I mean, even after captivity, we'd have came out of that and we could have instructed one another, helped one another, loved one another, families intact, you know, so forth, and then start building with one another. Well, we did some of that. And of course, that has been destroyed, you know.
Right.
But I think that would have gone a long way for our mental, spiritual, and physical well-being to raise healthy children, you know, because right. what we see out there, let's just be real, man. You know, you shake your head sometime at how the young people are and their lack of wanting to know, of wanting to understand who we are. You got to understand too, we're in America. America perpetuates and promotes individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And so if you're not grounded, if you're not orientated correctly, you'll succumb to that because it's trappings. You know, it's in every function. It's on TV. It's in the magazines. It's in the movies. It's in your class. It's everywhere. It traps you. And you think the most important person in the world is you. You know?
Yeah, under that social construct. And part of what, with the opportunity to be part of the family, the Time for Awakening family, being able to have some more, I'm going to say, in-depth conversations from, once again, from that Black developmental psychology perspective, and looking at from a psychosocial historical context, looking at how we have evolved. And a lot of times, family, I think, due to our inability to control our story, we become historically illiterate, and we have historical amnesia. What we mean by that is that we have to look at strategically how they continue to disrupt our ability to have healthy relationships with our women, and also how they interrupt and interfere with our ability to have healthy relationships with our children. And so from a war perspective, from a revolutionary perspective, we can't continue to send our children to the enemy to be educated and expect them to be able to function.
That's right.
So we have to change. We have to change our relationship to how we are engaging in this reality amongst these Europeans. And the other piece is, Big Brother, we constantly on the table. We ain't never had a break, man.
That's right.
Since they started stealing us and kidnapping us from Africa to this conversation we having right now, we ain't had no break.
No.
For us to be in a condition, in the state that we in, says, it just speaks volumes to our divine the divine presence, our perseverance, our resilience. It speaks volumes. And a lot of times we don't give ourselves enough credit, man. We're some cold people, man. We are some sharp people, man, to be able to be in the position that we in after, and it's a continuous historical attack on us. For us to still be in the position that we in, man, we got to start having that conversation because we're winning, man. It may look like we lose a bit, brother, but we winning, man.
I would love to see.
That's a serious paradigm shift. But when you think about any other culture or ethnicity that has been able to have a successful revolution, they have been able to create a space or some terrain where they can control that terrain and control the movements, the activities, the education, the socialization, the economics, the politics. We ain't had that opportunity, man. So a lot of times when we have this conversation, we have to do a paradigm shift to look at what we have been able to accomplish and constantly under attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we have. No, but I'm just going to say, because we have been under constant attack. If one can make the argument, you look at Dr. Chancellor Williams, say we've been under constant attack for over 2,000 years. Some say
Real
longer,
talk.
You know. But if we look at the captivity of African people and the colonization of African people and look at that, European has imposed its culture and itself on African people for the last 600 years. And the effect of that has had serious problems on us. You know, that's like when I read what has happened to us and what we should have done and what still needs to be done on Wednesdays, when I read the piece by Kwame Nkrumah of what he said at the Freedom in 1961 after 1957, getting free from Britain. God, I hate them. And then he said a few years later how it's not happening. And if we don't make this happen, this is our fault. You know, and it hasn't happened. And look today. Look at Africa today. And then Marimba Ani talks about why we need to really look at ourselves and then look at the European and reject what the European has done. Because we are African. And everything that the European desires to do for us is genocidal in nature. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the brother Lester Velt Middleton, you know, I just picked this one up because I liked how it read. And brother Lester Velt Middleton, for those who are listening, you can go to YouTube, put his name in, Lester Velt Middleton. He interviewed the great scholars, our great scholars, Francis Crest, A.C. Hilliard, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Ivan von Sertima. Great interviews. And he said this. He said, "We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Now go and build for eternity." That is our responsibility.
That is who we are.
But see, when we don't control the educational process that we're in, we don't control the job situation, we're at the mercy. I agree with you. We are a resilient people. We are a resourceful people. But we're under serious mental, spiritual, cultural attack. And we have been for hundreds of years. And it's unrelenting. And those of us who try to make us understand a paradigm shift is necessary and needed, you know, that's easier said than done, you know?
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. And I think we in our story, I firmly believe, and it's an awakening that's taking place, we're going to have to close ranks, big bro. Everybody ain't coming. So we're going to have to close ranks. And those of us who recognize that Pan-Africanism and Black nationalism is a way for us to move forward, we're going to have to close ranks and start working collectively and operationally together, unify ourselves to move forward. And so, like I said, I think we spent a whole lot of time trying to, you know, we've done that. We've trying to get, you know, brothers and sisters to come on, be a part of this and all that. But I think it's time we close ranks and strengthen ourselves.
That's what I thought.
Ourselves.
Right.
And as we travel throughout this country, we got to create spaces and institutions where we, as Pan-Africans, we can go in that space. And that's where we are amongst our people, like the Jews do.
Mm-hmm.
They are a clear example of what we should be doing and what we are capable of doing. So we have to create those spaces for where our children come out the womb all the way to the time they graduate from college, they're learning about Pan-Africanism.
That's right. That's right.
And wherever they go, there's a place for us to be amongst our people who are thinking Pan-Africanism and Black nationalism, and then understanding socialism.
Mm-hmm.
We have to create those spaces so we can start to, once again, you know how our people is, they sit back and watch and peep game and see if them niggas gonna succeed or if they gonna fail. And once they start seeing some success in what we're doing, more of them will start coming. But no, if they don't, that's cool.
No, I agree with you on that, because when, you know, people want to be a part of something successful. And I know that when me and Doc Rogers and Tony Courtney and quite a few others, James Hall particularly, because it came out of our conversation between me and James Hall, who was an attorney in Milwaukee, who was also the past president of the NAACP, but when he was our attorney for the Black firefighters when I was president, we had an attack on us. Some Caucasian wanted to sue us. So James Hall came and defended us, and it all worked out. But what also happened out of that was our need to form the organization. And we started 100 Black Men of Milwaukee and became very successful, and it grew. It grew, you know. So I understand what you're saying. If you put something out there and that people can understand it, it is successful, people are gravitating to it, you know. But I think the problem for us now here in America particularly is this idea of individualism. You know, it's very hard to break. Many people don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, you know, because that's what the society perpetuates and promotes. You know, even the theology, Christianity, is an individualistic religion. You know, it's not for the masses. You know, when you ask somebody about the theology, it says, yes, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, mm-hmm. Your community's going to hell, your family is disruptive and dysfunctional, but your ass is blessed and highly favored. Yeah, right. You know, and so many of them want the tribulation to happen because they want to go meet Jesus. They want the whole thing to blow up, you know. Well, I want the whole thing to blow up too, not in that respect, but in respect that we get up out of here. We get up out of this madness and do for ourselves. One question I'm going to ask you, Brother Alfonso, is when you see what's happening across the country, and now you have individuals who just months ago could not even form the words and put them in their mouth that Black Lives Matter, and now everybody's saying it. For me, I give less than a rat's ass about what's happening now and all the Caucasians who are trying to say Black Lives Matter, this, that, and the other, because to me, there is, and I repeat, there is no place here for us collectively as African people here in America, the way that it is constituted. The only way that America can have other people in it and feel good about being in it is that America's institutions are restructured. This whole thing is reformed. And that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. There has to be a redistribution of wealth. The income level, the equity level is so out of whack. It's pathetic. So it's not going to happen. You know, I think that once this thing dies down, there are going to be some programs initiated, some money given here and there, and then eventually you'll be back to where we are once again. You know, I think that there'll be some police reforms. You know, I still believe that the police departments are designed to do what they're doing. The system is not broken. The system is not broken. The system functions the way it's supposed to function.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Real talk. Like I say, bro, we had a real critical time in our story. And part of what we're seeing with the different elements that's participating in the Black Lives Matter piece is, once again, like you said, it has become a parade, a dog and pony show. You know, it's a whole lot of terms we can give it. It has lost its substance. It don't have any substance anymore. So part of, once again, we gonna have to close ranks. And once again, we more than just black. So the conversation about Black Lives Matter, we have to identify ourselves, those of us who are no listener audience, and we all understand that. We have to identify ourselves to a landmass so that we can identify what our culture is, what our tradition is. And once again, the African culture has evolved. It's a continuous evolving a paradigm. So we, those Africans in America right now, we are in the best position to exodus or create an exodus with brothers and sisters where we can create our own nation or go back home and support one of wherever you go back and support that country, that city, that local municipality that you move into to bring. We the best prepared to do that because we know this, those of us who are practicing Sankofa, we know this Caucasian better than anybody else. We know him and we see him. So we have to get to a place, and I'm going to keep hitting this home. We going to have to close ranks, big bro. Everybody ain't coming.
I think that we need to, as we look at it, evaluate and do that soon because you know, for those who want to stay, y'all stay. For those who understand that we need to get up out of here, let's prepare to do that. One of the things that we definitely need to do, and you mentioned this early on, is to educate ourselves to be the men and women who will help build. We need, the brothers and sisters in Africa need us in the diaspora, particularly us here in America, who are among some of the most technologically advanced Africans that we have on the planet. And the brothers and sisters on the continent need to welcome and embrace us. And we need to go over there and embrace them and work on building the planet. Kick out the Chinese, kick out the Arabs, kick out them damn Indians from India, kick out them Caucasians, wherever they come from. And let's manage our continent. Let's manage the land. Let's manage and let's build. Let's build highways, railroads, ports, hospitals, schools, subdivisions, towns, cities. What? Build it all. And in the process, manage how we can live with the animals that are on that continent to make sure that we don't mess up their migrations, how to live with plant life that is there, how to cultivate. And I mean, Africa could literally. See, Africa, they had this idea that they consistently threw out there that Africa is jungle. So you haven't put into your mind that when you talk about Africa, you're talking about gorillas and jungle and monkeys. And so, no, there is more arid land in Africa than almost anywhere on the planet. Africa could literally, if they had a dynamic agricultural, industrial agriculture, whatever, could feed the world. That's why China's trying to get into Africa. That's why they're trying to bring 300 million. China wants to bring into Africa 300 million people. And China has already secured areas in Africa because they have built things and those countries forfeited. In Zambia, in Kenya, they have forfeited. And so, and there's one place I think is an airport or something that not only do they now have that, but they've brought in a security force to maintain it. This is crazy. There is nowhere on the planet, nowhere on this planet that Africans can go and do what other people have done in Africa. Nowhere. In fact, everywhere on the damn planet, there, where Africans do go, we are disrespected.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm saying.
The conversation that we're having here in the Americas, man, the brothers and sisters are having it on the continent as well. I was listening to PLO Lumumba the other day, and he was talking about a piece called The African Narrative. And he was talking in the context of acknowledging or recognizing that all of these other foreigners always invite our African dignitaries to their countries to have a conversation about how they can help create certain spaces and opportunities on the continent of Africa. But his point was, when you say the African narrative, is that if they inviting us to their country to talk about what they can do for us, they looking out for their best interests. They're not looking out for our best interests. So part of what we have to start really having conversations about is about collective preservation. How do we begin as a collective group of people with the same enemies, begin to unify and organize ourselves to defend ourselves against those who are exploiting us, who continue to come in and exploit our resources and exploit our human capital? We got to start being intentional and deliberate in our conversations, but not just in conversations, but we got to put together the army. We can have all these conversations, but if we don't begin to start to create the army and the warriors needed to do what needs to be done, big brother, we just talking.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is imperative that we begin.
We got to close ranks, man. Yeah. We got to close ranks, and we got to start training. We got to start learning how to do tactical maneuvers. We got to start teaching our women and children how to shoot guns. Teach them martial arts, how to defend themselves. We got to start getting ready, man.
And see, you know, I understand what you're saying and the urgency of it, and that's what needs to happen. But you know, when you look at that, and you look at what we were saying it, and then you look at what we're dealing with, it's like, damn. But there is an element of us that has a level of consciousness, that has a level of heart and mind that is congruent into understanding this is what we must do. And those are the people that we need to close ranks with. Because you're right. Not all of us are going. Damn the multitudes. Let us find those brothers and sisters who are willing to close ranks and resources and so forth to prepare ourselves for the new African Renaissance, as I like to call it, a new African Renaissance.
Like,
you know,
I like that.
Because in that African Renaissance, it has to be us in control of our lives, of our livelihoods, of our land, of our culture, of our spirituality, whatever that might be. It has to be, we are in control of that. Because right at this moment, we ain't in control of a damn thing.
We're not
in control of what's happening on the continent because of neocolonialism, despots, and weak leadership. You had somebody who was willing to bring in the vaccinations. I can't remember which country it was. They said, "Oh, we'll allow you to come in and test the vaccines on." Man, are you kidding?
Yeah, they woke up real quick because a whole lot of other countries jumped on them about this madness.
So yeah.
I can't remember who that was either, brother, right. But they checked it in real quick. Yeah,
but, man.
I mean, the things that you was reading as it relates to our mental side, man, we got the Francis Crest, Marumba Ani, Amos Wilson, they have laid a real good foundation for us to start building on. But we got to have institutions and curriculums that's what we teach in, man. And we got to start that at the elementary. I mean, as soon as our babies can read and write, they need to know about Marumba Ani in Yorubu.
Yeah.
They need to know about Francis Crest Wilson in the Isis Papers. They need to know about Amos Wilson in the Blueprint for Black Power. We got to start that as soon as they learn how to read, because what we start to realize is that the way this European social construct is set up now, if we don't get that in their minds early on, and let that be the foundation of their worldview and shape their African personality, we are really sending them to the slaughter, man.
See, that's...
And so we got to take ownership of what our children are being educated. We got to throw the TV out there. Man, we ain't got no time to be watching TV no more. unless you're watching a documentary.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, unless you're gaining knowledge.
We ain't got time to be playing no video games, all that. We're time out for all that. And once again, everybody, those who want to do that, do that. And if we set up a space and only five people show up, man, we just need to work with those five people, man.
Yeah. Listen, we're going
to
take.
We got to get about this, man.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines. Brothers and sisters, you can hit star twice. That'll open up your line, or you can hang up and call back to let me know that you have a question, comment, or concern. We're talking today with my good brother, Dr. I think I may might as well be a doctor. Dr. Alfonso Watkins.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. We done put some work. We don't need them with European credentials to identify who and what we are.
That's right.
So I appreciate the accolade, though, big brother.
Always. Because you put in the work. You have put in the work, Brother Alfonso Watkins. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You stay right here. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Let it get in,
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just going to make a couple of announcements. I'm, of course, announcing Black Reality Think Tank tomorrow, the weekend edition, from 4 to 6. These are Eastern times. They're broadcasting out of Milwaukee now, and which, of course, adjust your time. They're an hour behind. And so from 4 to 6 Eastern time, Black Reality Think Tank weekend edition, followed by the Black Reality Think Tank Sankofa, the Elders Council. And that will be hosted by my guest today, Brother Alfonso, Dr. Alfonso Watkins, the good doctor, Dr. Watkins. And a couple of other announcements. Tomorrow also, Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti, they're having their Common Sense Security for Sisters. This is for sisters, the Common Sense Security. And, of course, it's online. So to make your donation, $10 or $5 for young people, young ladies, and that should be done through PayPal. The account is YAA Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Gmail, YAA Baruti at Gmail. Include your pertinent information, of course, your name, the email address, so they can send you the link through the program, and your phone number. Common Sense Security for Sisters Only. I will be announcing the complimentarity program they're going to have in July, which is going to be special. I probably definitely would like to be a part of that. Also, tomorrow, there's a global virtual global Ma'afa commemoration tomorrow at 11:30. Brother Ted sent me this. Oh, good Brother Ted sent me this information. It's the Ma'afa commemoration, Ancestral Worm Recovery and Commitment. And I'm trying to get to where there's a link or something that I can send, that I can announce this to you. The following live program and commemoration continues even on Sunday. So, but I don't see the exact link. But there's a program tomorrow, Saturday, the 13th, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 8:30 a.m. on the West Coast, the 28th Annual International Commemoration for the Millions of African Ancestors Who Perished in the Middle Passage, the Ma'afa, and Those Who Survived. So that's going to be on tomorrow as well. We're going to get back to our program here. And the good doing doctor, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful, big brother. Wonderful, man. All right. Enjoying the fellowship and breaking bread with you.
Always. Always. In fact, when I started out with trying to do this radio piece, you were right there with us with Dr. Nate Stampley, had
right.
meetings at his
right.
church.
Right.
And then I tried to broadcast over at the gospel stations, and me and you would sit
side by side. You've been on it for a minute, man. And like I say, man, I've been on your heels.
Yeah.
I've been on your heels with it, you know. So we appreciate your continued persistence, man, of doing what you do and getting this platform. And once again, man, we thankful for you, big brother.
Right on. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, you know, everybody has a part to play in the liberation of African people. And whatever you feel that part is, get in where you fit in, but be sincere and committed and do it, because it's an ongoing process. We're going to take some calls. Caller 404-453.
Hey, Uhuru Ocean and Dr. Watkins. Hey, look, your Ocean.
Yes, sir.
Okay, first, before I say anything, I got to pay homage to our big brother, Medgar Wiley Evers, that was killed on this date, June 12th, 1963. Mm. I got to give it to him, man. You see what I'm saying? I have to always give an ancestor before I speak.
That's right.
All right?
Now, all right. All right.
Now, getting to the present, man. See, I know we should be going to Africa, but I'm trying to deal with the present, man, right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, because look like I said before, how long will we stand around and watch our property get killed while we stand around and look, all right? So look at him, man. The way I just had a wild thought that bust my brain.
All right, talk
to us. I remember a little coon come out with a movie called Do the Right Thing. Remember that movie?
Okay.
Okay, so what happened in Do the Right Thing? Okay, I believe that Negro on spy, man, Spike Lee. So look at him, man. Then the movie, the main thing, and Do the Right Thing, what happened? Our brother, Radio Raheem, got choked out in the hood. Why, what happened? Everybody stand around and look, see? See how it works, how Spike Lee controlled the mind of black people?
Well, you know, but see, once that happened, what happened? They tore it up. They tore up the pizza parlor. They right. tore up the community.
Okay. Let me finish my statement now.
Okay. Go ahead.
Why the hell they got there in Stoke? Where George Floyd, that called 911. Why the hell that damn smoke still up, man? That should be the first damn thing they smoke. They burnt it down.
Well, I don't know about burning it down, but let me just say this. This is what they definitely should do. That store should close. It should close down. And if it's not closed down, they should close it down by making sure that no, especially us, don't patronize it. Mm-hmm. Because the owner alleged that the brother had a fake $20 bill, which of course was not the case, which caused them to call the right. which made them call the cops on him to begin with, which precipitated this whole thing by a lie. Which of course that happens a lot of times, sir. You know, to our detriment that somebody lied. You know. See? And so that store, I agree with you, that store should be closed down. You know. Hello, hello, hello.
Call may be recorded.
Next thing I know, I wake up in the back of the police car because I could have been dead. They choked me, man. Okay? So this right here, personal, man. This here personal in my eyes, man. Every time I see a brother get choked out, and even, like I said, man, all it had to take was one or two real men that were standing on that corner for 10 minutes watching our brother get executed just to step up. So even one of the lawyers said, for one of them killer cops, the one that he got burned. The lawyer even said, if the people would have stepped in and stopped this BS, my man George Floyd would still be alive, man.
Well, okay? let me say this, and I understand what you're saying, you know, but when you live in a society, once again, you got to understand this, Wes and listeners, you live in a society that promotes and perpetuates individualism, right. materialism, greed, and violence, and it's constant.
Right.
It's on the movies. It's in your books. Because let me finish, Lois. Because you are bombarded 24/7, 365 with those images and notions, it's hard for you to move. I understand what you're saying. We should do it. Those of us who have been able to step outside, hold on. Those of us who have been able to step outside of those boundaries that have been imposed upon us by the European, by Caucasians, by the Urugu, we can act differently. We can act in accordance. But for those of us who are not, unfortunately, that's what happens. Go ahead, Wes.
Bro, we at war right now, man. See, they practice, they want us to practice individualism while they do collective damn devilment. See, that's the game they playing. They ain't doing no damn individualism. They want us to be individualized and separated, man. Okay? But we at war, man. And if I see them choking you on the ground, you think I'm going to sit there and watch you talking about, help me, y'all, help me, bro. Okay? I'm not going to do it, bro, because I've been there, done there. Okay? I'm not going to do it. I don't give a damn.
Hold on, Jay.
I'm helping my folks out, man. See, Ochi, you're going to make me cuss, man. I'm going to let somebody else talk.
All right.
I'm getting kicked off at F for cussing you, lying down to everybody. Because this is war time, man. See, one more thing. You know what I do? If I'm in the hood, I call 911 And then when they show up, we throw it out on their ass. See, that's what's going to happen, man. Okay? It's war time, bro.
It is. No, I agree. We are at war because we have been warred upon. But we have been in this state of war for a long time. And because many of us have been trained not to understand it, not to see it, not to comprehend it, and truly not to act against it, that's why we act the way we act. Okay, let me get this caller in. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, yo, OC. Your boy Wes just got you, I think, cut off of TuneIn Radio, brother, because they done changed the program real quick to something that Elliot has done. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, Research West and his emotionalism may have gotten you in a little bit of trouble with the daddy.
Well, I don't know.
You don't want trouble with the daddy over West.
Let me say this. I just saw it. It flashed across my screen. It was down. It stated that. It rebooted. I rebooted it itself, and we're back to where we are. And from what I understand, I am not on TuneIn. So I'm only being heard by those who have called in. If you're trying to listen online, you're trying to listen with your mobile device on TuneIn, that's not happening, for what I understand. And Brother Kwaku has sent me some information saying the same thing. So I don't know what happened,
It was the fire. It was the fire of Research West. It was his emotionalism, his desire to go out there and get the peckerwood, the cracker. Wes, I heard you 6'4", 340 pounds. That's a lot of damage you could do with that. Or the Uruku West. I mean, you could be a one-man African army with the passion that you have today to go and snap some Uruku necks. Hey, listen, West, just do one thing. One thing for your brother. Please take a South African necktie with you if you know what it is, and do your thing, brother. But hey, Osh, Listen, man, I just wanted to say, as always, you doing a good thing. And listen, we gonna get it together, brother.
Oh yeah, I'm optimistic.
We have to do. Never fret. The Uruku is running scared. He knows that his thing is decimating. I mean, just look at what's happening. Now, I know you've been talking about how we need to protect ourselves from this pandemic and this virus and all of that. Do you see how the pandemic is coming back?
Of course, you knew that.
States that opened up are now facing the pandemic at a higher rate. But you notice, now this is the thing you got to understand. You notice how the media really isn't addressing it, and how your boy Fredo is now using the dog whistle of our so-called holiday, June 10th, to come forward with a white nationalist narrative. Man, listen, brother, they running scared. We just got to get on our African square. We got to understand who and what we are at this time and move forward in sovereignty with those who are like mine. We can't be talking that craziness like Research West right now. If you're going to do it, West. Don't put us in that position where we got to come and rescue and defend your big behind. It's not part of our equation right now. Just what? Do it. Do gangster. I hear you, brother. I support you.
All right, Jay.
We got work to do.
We do. We got work to do. Let me hotel, brother. Hotel. Brother Alfonso.
Yeah, man. It's always good to hear some warriors, man. That's what I love about this radio station, man. It's always good to know that, you know, brothers and sisters out here, man, we on the same frequency. We see what's happening. And to my brother, the first caller, to his point, I think a lot of times we don't understand the psychological warfare and the impact it has on personality configurations and how it the influence of your perception of what law is and, mm-hmm. and your inability to once again respond correctly. Everybody must read, man, Dr. Amos Wilson's book, The Falsification of African Consciousness.
I agree.
That's a must read for all of us who are trying to understand the behaviors that we see in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can begin to put the necessary work in by practicing Sankofa, where you practicing your own personal development. But then you can recognize why our people are responding or don't have the natural response needed in circumstances. So that way, when we have these conversations, all of us could be functioning out of the same frame of reference coming out of a Black African developmental psychology perspective. Because a lot of times, even in some of our conversations, you can... We got to read, family. And I know everybody's not going to read. So those of us who going to be the African intellectuals, we're going to have to educate those who don't want to read. But at the same time, reality of understanding the science of brainwashing and mind control is what and that's what you keep talking about, Ocean, when you talk about mental side.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about brainwashing. We're talking about mind control. We're mm-hmm. talking about psychological warfare.
Mind manipulation. Yes.
Right. And what my brother just got off the phone, what he's talking about with this COVID thing, well, we got to understand with that 5G. That 5G has an impact on our algorithms of our body. So whatever the radiation, whatever that 5G, the frequency that it's sending out, the combination of that and the virus, whatever this COVID is, the impact that it has on melanated people, we got to start understanding that science, man. So that's a whole other form of warfare, the radiation warfare, the abstract warfare, chemical warfare. We got to really start studying and understanding so we can speak to it, because what we're seeing is a whole other form of warfare. And so we just can't talk about it from a psychological talk therapy perspective. We got to understand the chemical warfare, the chemicals that we have digested, the impact that it's having on our neurotransmitters, or how it's affecting our organs, how it's affecting our psychiatric processes. This European boy is a mad scientist.
Yes, sir, brother.
And
yes,
so we
got to go
to a whole nother level, y'all.
Yeah.
We got to go to a whole nother level to defeat him. But we're going to defeat him because he is our child. He's beneath us, and he knows that. We're the ones that's trying to compromise with our child. We're the parents. And we keep going to our children asking them to give us what we need. We're the ones that got to change, man.
Yeah.
They ain't all love you.
We have another caller.
Another caller, brother.
We have another caller, 706-706. Good afternoon. 706. Good afternoon.
Okay. Hello.
Yes. Are you just...
Hello.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Hotel.
Okay. Am I on?
You're on. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Johnson, Rome, Georgia.
Okay, welcome.
Okay, first of all, I'm thanking God right now for the wisdom and knowledge that's shared on this panel.
I can appreciate
everything that I've heard. I'm familiar with Dr. Alfonso Watkins. I'm from Milwaukee.
Oh, I see.
And, yes, and he has an agenda that I concur with 100%. He's been a warrior for the last,
that's right,
I guess, more than half of his life. But my question is, have any of you been to Africa?
I have, many times.
You have?
Yes, ma'am.
It's hot as hell over there.
Huh?
I don't want to go to Africa.
You don't have to.
Okay, but
You don't have to.
Why can't we here start a collective group that Alfonso has mentioned to start the Renaissance movement?
Well, let me just say this. We're in what is considered as the saying goes, the belly of the beast. We have tried many times to organize ourselves, constantly being disruptive by those who run this country through agent provocateurs or just all out destruction of whatever organization we had. We have tried coming out of our captivity. When we came out of our captivity, only thing that we wanted was for them to leave us alone. Let us develop ourselves. And we did that. Yes. And then what happened? They came and destroyed it. They came and destroyed it. So, and then all throughout the 30s, 40s, and even 50s, we didn't say nothing because we knew that these are some evil people and they would come down on us. But we got courage in the 60s. We got courage in the 60s and we demanded things in the 60s. We marched.
Yeah.
You know, we started doing we started doing these kinds of things, and then we eventually rioted. Now, understand something. The riots that just happened, you know, these past week or so are different than the riots from the 60s. Number one, you've seen Caucasians in these riots, and a lot of times the Caucasians in these riots were actually provocateurs. They were throwing bricks, spray painting Black Lives Matter, all in the effort to probably have more things come down on us, because back in the 60s, there were no Caucasians in those riots, because if there were, they would have got their ass whooped, okay, by us, you know? So the other thing is, you know, that it's a different situation for us today. There are many of us who realize that we can't do what we have done because of the mindset of the people who run this. So let us come together with our brothers and sisters on the continent. You don't have to go. In fact, what I say is this: for those who truly understand it and want to go, prepare yourself. Let's go. For those who are here, don't fight against it. Don't work with the Caucasian to try to dismantle it or destroy it. Support it. If you can afford to support it, please do. Don't say nothing bad about it. Just go ahead and live your life. And you, if there's something that we need and you can provide, provide it. All I'm saying is that there has to come a point for us that we make this break. Because as long as we're here in this country, we have to abide by what the Caucasian dictates. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot be independent, self-determining, liberated, or sovereign in this country. You cannot do it. Not even Caucasians can do it. Okay? They dictate. But what you can do is that you can educate yourselves. You can prepare yourselves. You can prepare yourself to make that move over to the continent. You can work with brothers and sisters in that way. You don't have to physically go there. You can send money. Anything that can happen that we can establish ourselves. See, we need to reestablish, as Malcolm said it best, as long as Africa is in the condition that it's in, Africans, wherever we are, will never be respected. But if that's the case, and we can turn it around, then wherever Africans are, we will be respected. And because they know, you mess with me, you messing with all of us. So wherever we go in Europe, here, South America, Caribbean, China, we will be respected. You see, we have another caller. You can just
hang on. Well, I'm still ready to sign up to be a part of the collective group.
All right. All right,
my sister. How do I do that?
Well, to be part of the collective group is stay tuned in with this radio station, for one, because there's always Brother Oshi, Doc Rogers, and the other brothers that's part of this, and now some sisters that's speaking on this radio, so on this frequency, that is sharing information that is going on in their specific communities. But Oshi is right there in Atlanta. So there's a number of different opportunities for you, since you're in Rome, Queen Mother, to go visit Atlanta, make contact with Brother Oshi and the Pan-Africanist movement, to learn more about what Pan-Africanism is or Black nationalism is, to educate yourself, and then once again, that's how you get involved.
Okay.
So you
thank
have
you very much.
So you have this number, and I'm gonna give you my home number. I'm Brother Oshi, O-S-H-I. My number is 414. I know you're familiar with that area code. 414-324-5796. 324-5796. What's your name, my sister?
Christina Johnson.
All right, Miss Johnson. Miss Christina Johnson, welcome, my sister. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
All right, much love to you all.
All right, just hang on. You can just hang on. All right. 602, good afternoon. 602, good afternoon. All right. Brother Alfonso. You know, we have to collectively, I mean, there's so much scatteredness, so much people in this direction, that direction, just like what you see happening these last few weeks. The beauty of the last few weeks, though, is the fact that there is no Al Sharpton, there is no Jesse Jackson, there is no individuals who are leading these demonstrations. The young people are doing it, you know, just like they used to do when they get on their phones and let's go all, I don't know if they call it a rush or something like that, and they go bum rush a mall or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing in this situation because of the social media, saying, hey, we're going to meet at this place and we're going to march from this place, you know. So they pretty much have that organized. And that's what you see happening, you know. In fact, there's been a couple of cases where little kids have been leading the chants. You know, like that one little girl that they show on TV. She fired, man. She fired up. you know. But once again, I'm saying to bring attention, all that is good. And the fact that NASCAR
that
wants
was deep.
Yeah, that,
and
went,
that was
went,
deep when I saw that. Yeah, that was deep.
And I believe that there's some NASCAR individuals that they're going to bring their flags, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're going to bring it. And, man, once again, man, I think we kind of naive to think that these folks should give up who they are. We're trying to identify who we are, and we want them to give up who they are. You know what I'm saying? That ain't realistic. Let them have their damn flag. They're proud of their history.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's their history. So let them have that. Our issue with them is that y'all don't want us to have nothing. Y'all don't want to give us access to the resources. Y'all trying to make us go through a system that y'all created, a system that is totally corrupt, and then y'all going to try to make us go through your corrupt system and be righteous going through your corrupt system. Just the mindset of this European male man and his woman with this racism, they sick, man. And we can't continue to follow them and negotiate with them. We can't do that. We didn't try that. It's non-negotiable.
And see, that's my contention, brother. You know, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We continue to do it. We're always in that begging. Well, we got another caller, 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Brother Oshi, and to you and your guests. But
hey.
I'm just listening, man. I was listening to TuneIn, and you left TuneIn.
I know.
So I said, yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't either.
I'm just listening, brother.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Well, peace and blessings, brother. Peace and blessings.
Right on. Yeah, because that's what's happened. We got kicked off of TuneIn for some reason.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, so, they want us to keep talking in a victim place. You know what I'm saying? Winning, man. We got to touch our acknowledging that, man. We not losing, man. We winning. Oh, for the simple fact that we still got brothers and sisters on this continent still with an African personality. They done everything in their power, man, to destroy our relationship to our original African personality.
Mm-hmm.
For the simple fact, you on a radio, y'all have created a platform, and we still talking like Africans. We still resisting. We still talking about what's going on. We connected to the continent.
Right.
And we winning, man.
That's so right.
So they don't want us to have that conversation. They want us to keep talking like we victims and, you know, we got the cheap, you know, asking them. No, when we start talking the way we talking now, hey man, they're going to shut down it. And we're so immature to think that they're going to let us use their technology to organize against them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to really grow up, family. We got some work to do, but we're going to put this work in.
You know, I read this the other day. This is just what you're saying. This is just what you're saying. And I read this the other day. And this is what was stated in the 2nd of February of 1835. This is an address to the British Parliament. God, I hate the British. This is Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament, the 2nd of February, 1835. He says, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral standards, people of such high caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage.
Right.
And therefore, I propose that we replace their old ancient education system and their culture. For if the Africans think that all with our culture, because if the Africans think that all there is that is foreign and British or English is good and greater than their own, then they will lose their self-esteem. They will lose their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated people, a dominated nation. That's deep, because that's what it is.
That's what it is. Right?
That's what it is. And see,
right.
You know, we have been, they have had us to the point that they have, you know, tried to destroy our minds and make us believe that who we are is inferior. Our culture is inferior. Our land is inferior. And we must embrace what Europe has to offer. We must glorify and worship and hope to be in and where Europeans are. And because of that, that has cut us off from one another. That's like I'm saying. That's that individualism.
Right.
You know,
right.
I got mine. Right. I got mine. Get yours.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's true. What's happening, man. And Oshie, and once again, from a Black African developmental psychology perspective, when Nkrumah talks about capitalism and imperialism and the human being that is produced under that, we have to be able to recognize we can't practice capitalism and be African. You're bipolar doing that. You have to practice being your African personality has to come out of socialism. It can't come out of capitalism. Capitalism is a tool of white supremacy and racism, and Christianity is too.
Tell it.
So when we had this conversation and we talk about what is going to be needed, we have to look at how we are going to control the education and the socialization of ourselves and our children to protect ourselves from the illnesses of white supremacy and racism. And so part of that is understanding when we start practicing the principles of Ma'at, when we start practicing that cultivates our spirit to be in tune with the universe, then we can start using the universe to help us fight this virus that we're dealing with, this virus of this European sickness of racism. But if we don't get back in tune and in balance with the universe, we can't use the forces of nature. And that's why we really need to go back and study what our Haitian family was doing with voodoo and how they was able to kick ass down there in Haiti, man.
Yeah, that we really need to look at that.
We got to go back to those teachers, yeah. Man, because we And so when we go back to those teachings, we can use the universe to help us defend ourselves against this virus, man.
All right, 602, good afternoon. 602.
Yes, Brother Oshie, you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, Brother Marcus, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. In reference to the sister that called from Georgia.
Yes.
You know, Garvey said it's Africa for the Africans at home and abroad.
I say.
So that means you be our eyes and ears here in America, and we be your eyes and ears in Africa.
It is.
And we trade. We do business together.
Yes.
The Chinese are in Africa, but all those products they make in Africa are shipped to China. Okay? You know, produce, so, you know, unless it's some inferior product. Because I was watching a documentary from Gambia the other day, and they're in Gambia making wheelbarrows, but the product is so inferior that they have to take it to the welder to weld it after they buy it. So what they do, they make products in Africa, but they ship it to China to sell it to the Chinese people or whatever food they're producing, they ship it. We can do the same thing. We trade between each other. It doesn't have to be a problem, see? Because it's Africa for the Africans at home and abroad.
I say.
That's all I had to say.
All right, Brother Marcus. I say. 646.
I say.
646. 646. Good afternoon.
Yes, in regards to what your brother said, would we not be in agreement to say that this is a white man's country?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, we can agree with that.
So if that's the case, why should a white man not have the right to promote his flag based on what his perception of what the flag means in regards to his whiteness, even though he may have lost? Why do you think that the governor of New York State said that he's not going to take down the statue of the rapist, the murderer, the thief, Christopher Columbus, because he's protecting what? His culture, and he's in the position of power to do what? Do that. Now, the question becomes, what is our job to deal and react to the defiance of a cracker? Until you understand that type of logic, then you're just going to be in the same merry-go-round waiting for this cracker to treat you right. It's like all most black people want is for this devil just not to beat us no more, to just show us that he cares about how we feel and what we think. But that's not the nature of the white man, because he don't give a damn about you. He don't even want your black ass no more, if the truth be told. But we seem not to understand that. So that's why you have this continuous merry-go-round and out dealing with him.
And you're going to have
it. And it's never going to change.
And you're going to have it again, based upon what we have witnessed and seen happening these last few weeks. Anytime you have a demonstration and a march, the next thing you know, you holding hands with the cops, you dancing in the street with the cops, or dancing in the street with all of these little Caucasians, it's going to be they're just setting you up for the same old, same old. Things will die down. There'll be an appearance. See, to me, getting rid of statues is symbolism without substance. That don't mean a damn thing. Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That don't mean nothing. But go ahead, brother.
Hey, Oshie, yeah. I agree with you, but do you notice this? Who are the dominant people in these marching, and what is the pretense of what they're using to promote their protests? Supposedly Black Lives, which is controlled
and run by degenerates that really don't have to do with anything in regards to African struggle.
No, you're right about that.
The game that's being played on us, brother.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Are protesting their lack of position that's being shown in this country by what has just happened with this pandemic. But we don't study, so we don't understand the game that's being played on us, the manipulation. So when it's all said and done, African people going to be in the same position like we've always been. And if you want to understand and get a closer proximity and understanding of what I'm talking about, just look at the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Yeah.
That's a great study.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, brother. Right. Go ahead.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
I think in our observation of what we're seeing, those of us who are practicing Sankofa, those of us who are practicing and living in Pan-African Black nationalism, we recognize that that march, that protest ain't got shit to do with us. So we having this conversation with Africans right now, and we already been identified that ain't got nothing to do with us. So back to the original conversation, we have to close our ranks. We have to get to a place where we are organizing Pan-Africanism and Black nationalism intentionally and deliberately for that purpose. Because everybody, once again, I'm broke. Everybody ain't coming, family. So we got an opportunity to position ourselves to, like my brother from the Jamaica, with the Jamaican accent, just called in and said, we need to be forming relationships with the continent, so that we can do exchanges so they can finance what we're doing here in America, so that we can have an exchange of trade. So we take our genius back home to collectively work with them, and they help support what us by the resources that we exchange with, because we're going to need some paper, y'all. We're going to need some money. So how are we going to finance this movement? So we need to connect with the brothers and sisters on the continent, because they got the resources and we got the mind, we got the skill set, we got the genius. So we got to start being deliberate and intentional in our conversations so that we can break this cycle for the children that's coming up under us under Pan-Africanism. So that's what I would just say to that. This is a real critical time for us, fam. Real critical.
I wholeheartedly concur, because that's why I'm on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and been on it now almost 6 years. I will continue to be on it because, you know.
And one thing right quick to the brother, because he just mentioned and said something that's real important. Now, when he talks about dealing with the continent, and the people on the continent having the resources, I totally agree with you. Now, the question becomes, we have a group of individuals with all the skill sets necessary to be able to facilitate that. But the problem is, they don't want to do that. So if you were to put together a proposal and take it to these so-called divine non-Negroes, who are supposedly the most talented within our race, has the most educational and technical resources of most. If you were to put a proposal together and present it to them and be able to give it to an African country that is willing to do what is necessary to bring us over there, I guarantee you they wouldn't go along with it, because they are embedded into this whiteness.
Right.
And that's what we have to deal with. That's what we have to address, changing their mindset. Because remember, everything based on how they see things culturally is from a Greek perspective. It's not from an African perspective, and we taught the Greeks. So if you repping somebody else's culture, how could you ever be for your own unless you re-educated? And them Negroes ain't never gonna come into Africanness.
brother, I'm not even talking about them when I said the genius. I'm talking about brothers like you. I'm talking about people you connected to. We need to put a proposal together. Those of us who are practicing Pan-Africanism, Black nationalism, I ain't talking about them Negroes that's caught up in calling themselves Republicans and Democrats. And I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us. We need to put together our talents and our resources in a proposal, and those brothers and sisters who are doing business, who are selling products, we need to have an exchange with the continent to support what we're doing. I know that talented 10 stuff, the Negro, we ain't talking about them. I'm talking about us, man. The listening audience that this broadcast got access to, we need to be intentional and deliberate in what we are talking about, put together an action plan, a Pan-African agenda, and we need to move forward on that. But the other piece of that is, too, we got to create us some soldiers and some warriors to defend what we're talking about.
That's right.
Because we already know they coming. Because they,
right.
They dropped a bomb in Philadelphia on them brothers and sisters, and they dropped their bomb in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we already know that they will drop a bomb on what we do. But we got to be able to be, just like they willing to kill for what theirs, we got to create the same type of mentality in our people and in ourselves. We willing to kill and die to defend this as well.
What's interesting right now is that, and I know we're about running out of time, is that here you have NASCAR willing to say, we don't want the stars and bars, the rebel flag to be flown at NASCAR officially. I believe you could still has a person attending can bring a flag. I don't know, but I don't care. But what is interesting is that even though you see these things happening, and even some of the army generals are willing to say these forts that are named after Confederate generals, they need to be renamed because the Confederacy challenged America. They were rebels. They challenged it. They wanted to keep us in captivity. They wanted to secede from the Union. They lost. So why are you glorifying the losers? Why are you continuing to have this? Because really, racism is a team sport for Caucasians, even though there were losers. But now this is the interesting piece. Now here you have Trump saying that he wants to go next week Friday, which is Juneteenth Day, to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to have a Trump rally. Now, to me, if he has advisors, particularly Negroes, like he had them in at the White House a day or two ago, said to him, listen, man, don't do that. Don't go have a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of the massacre that we as Caucasians have done to black folks in 1921. Don't do it. And then don't do it on Juneteenth Day, a day when we were finally, all of us were finally let it be known that our captivity had ended, when them crackers got 2.5 more years of labor out of us, excuse me, you know, don't do that. But he's going to do it anyway, from what I understand. And you know what? I'm glad. I hope he does. He's going to do it anyways. Let me get this caller right here, 404-453-1, because we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Hey, I apologize, man, but I've been there in the trenches in 1993 fighting them devils, man, and nobody helped me out, okay? All we need is about 4 or 5 G's when this situation happened. You hear my man talking about 5G. All we need is some good 5G's when this stuff happened. But I love what y'all talking about doing commerce with Africa, okay? And I think what we also can do, like my man said, do commerce among ourselves over
that's
here.
Right.
I.e.
Right.
The black farmers, man.
Yeah.
They're ready for us,
right.
The black farmers.
The black farmers. You know, we don't have a supermarket here in Atlanta. Thanks a lot, Wes. We don't have a supermarket here in Atlanta, but we got these black farmers around here. The We Buy Black is trying to put money up to have a black supermarket and have black farmers have their produce at that market, have other black entities, like, remember, what was that, Black Gem Products and other growers and develop. You know, we need all of that. Brother Alfonso, we only got a few more minutes. Go ahead.
Man, once again, big brother, it's always a pleasure, man. And I'm going to start carving out time, man, to be more on this radio show, man, listening in and that as well, man.
Appreciate it.
We know what to do, man. I just think we have to become persistent and consistent in what we're doing, and then understanding the attack that the tactics they use to interfere with us being able to sustain what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the spirit that's going to be needed to move this forward. And once again, we got to get to a place back in the 60s, man. We ain't down with, protesting and getting our butt with, but we need to be just like them white boys went up to whatever city they the capitals with their weapons. We got to get down like that, man. I got much love for them white boys doing that, because mm-hmm. they ain't gonna let them infringe on their freedom. That's what that was about. They were saying, we ain't gonna let y'all infringe on our. If we want to die from this damn virus, we gonna make that choice.
Right on.
You ain't gonna tell us to. You know what I'm saying? So, but we gotta start thinking like a free and independent people. We ain't got to ask our child to do what we need to do. This European is our child. He is a new creature on the planet. So we got to quit looking at him and asking him to do something. We've been here millions of years before he was even walking. And we got to get back to that mindset. And then practicing the principles of mind will get you back on that.
That's right. That's right. We have all, brother, we have everything that we need. We got it. We don't have to look outside of ourselves for nothing. We have everything that we need. The only thing that we don't have is the mind to put it all together. Is the mind. And that's the bottom line, you know. So I thank you, my brother. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you, man.
Love you too, dear brother. Peace to you. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivihodie. Bivihodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.
Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Oh.